Hello, welcome into episode 144 of Caithness Craft Collective. I'm Louise and today I've got a blether with Precious. What's a crack? Coming up, review section, competition, me section, runny, shoppy section, and a dram with the Scapa Scurrin malt whiskey. I sponsor this for my own crafty business, which is www.etsy.com/shop/CaithnessCraft. All links should be with the show notes, so get your cup of tea or your dram and I'll let you know what your crack is in Caithness this week. Today we seem to have a little winter storm coming through, so you'll be hearing Gertrude in the background as she shuggles about my polytunnel, which is still there. There's great big holes in the back end of it, but most of it's intact. And like we said, we don't think it'll see the winter out, so... Anyway, you might hear the dogs as well.
Now for the blether.
The blether. Precious. Yes, my precious. Oh, yes. So the Hobbit over the holidays. And it refers to the Ring of Power in Middle-earth for you non-Lord of the Ringy types. One ring to rule them all, and Gollum calls it his precious. I also went to a funeral just before Christmas, and whilst the casket was being taken out after the service, it reinforced the message that when we're dead, and all you go out with is a box. I told Richard this when I got home and he said I was being morbid. So, apologies if you're in that state of mind, but if you're not, or if you are even, bear with me while I get to the point. I thought about all the materialistic things I have and what use they will be when I'm not here. Time is an ever-decreasing quantity of timey-wimey dimensions, and you never know what is around the corners thing. I'm not sure I'll ever have enough time to use up what I have accumulated. And I think they call that sable. Stash accumulated beyond life expectancy. And then I thought about the precious stuff in my stash and the times that I've made stuff with yarn or material. Well, meh, alright, but it's not as nice to work with the good stuff. Most of you are aware of the golden skein, which is the brainchild of Joe Shinybees and Kate. This is called the golden skein as it's Joe's way of reminding us to use up that precious stash yarn or buy the precious stash yarn and use it. And get well soon, Joe, she's got the lurgy just now. Now my goodness, does the yarn club have some beautiful colours going on through it just now. The penguin one especially, which was dyed by Helen of Ripple's Craft. Joe started it because her friend had sadly died and she thought, let's just go for it, life's too short. We are all beneficial for that, Joe, and you do your friend proud. We often think of these things when faced with our mortality. Life all of a sudden seems so short and we fill it up with mundane or less than perfection. But when we step back from it, consider, well, we're blessed because we have the mundane. We can have the mundane. Mundane isn't always boring, it can be comforting too. The hoovering, I always report back to the hoovering. Guess what I was doing this morning? It warms us up. I'm nice and toasty if we're cold. And it gets our floors nice and clean. This stamping off 100 envelopes gets us doing some exercise. It gets the job done and the wage earned. The dull can have its good sides too. Plus it means that when the good stuff happens, we appreciate it more. If we work with caveat or cashmere every day, then what do we have to aspire to? But what precious things do you have in your stash? Have you up on the wall encased in glass saying, only smash in emergencies? Or have you hidden it at the bottom, wrapped with lavender to keep the moths off? And then when you have trapped off this mortal coil, will your executors find it? Executors? I've actually written executors. Well, for the majority of us, it will be our executors. So will they find it there and wonder, why didn't you use that? It's beautiful. Do you always want to make that perfect project with it, but you've never quite found the right pattern? Or you never made the time? Or was it that you just simply liked having it in the stash? I'm a person who thinks, oh, it's going to be so cool when I get this thing or do that thing, and I look forward to getting sit and achieving the thing. Say, getting the precious Malabrigo or Madeline Tosh and keeping it to have it. So when you use it, it's used and then you don't have it to use anymore. Or the record player that I sorely wanted for Christmas and it's not been used since then. Is because I've got it and I'm comfortable having it, and when I want it I'll be able to go back and use it. But my point, caller, is that time is not an endless gift and it's not to be frittered away. Time is precious and how we use it is important. And it isn't just about the things either. It's about achieving our potential too. Did we achieve the degree that we know that we could do and get the job that we should have? Do we travel and see all the things? Did we step out our comfort zone and do the triathlon and swim in the loch without armbands? I managed the last one. So the first two aren't actually my bucket list, but see, when you do them and you step out into the loch, after all that training and all the scary pants time, I realised it wasn't so bad after all. And look at me go! I'm in the middle of Loch Borlaug. And guess what I've signed up for again this year? My achievements or stash don't define me, but they do drive me, and they help me keep on stepping up to take that ring to Mordor. Appreciate the power of the ring. I know when to use it, and when to let it go, when to like the mundane, and when to chuck that ring into the fires of doom. If you need a peace talk, go, because it's time for the Daisy and Sandy giggle. Hello, section. A Sandy hello to new to me, been with me for a while now, and been with me forever listeners, and those that come back. I very much appreciate you tuning in, and I hope that you are enjoying yourself. Hello to new group members, Carly1979, KT Karen. Oh, what a lovely little doggy you've got there. Oh, from Bonnie Scotland. Little Frog, with a little frog on her avatar. And she's from the Isle of Skye. I hope it's the batten down the hatches of the day there. It's scared getting it worse than us. Et Dram, and she's from Highmouth, Mordate. Shona Mick, and she's from Edinburgh. Oh, all hail the Scots. Hey, hey. And then we have Ma Dashper, who is Faye, and she lives down in Sandbach, down south, and she's going to be coming to the retreat, but she used to live in Caithness a long time ago. So hail all the Scottish connections and the new group members. So it's really quite cool. And then I'm going to have random hellos to the misters or the misses of you, i.e. the husbands, wives and partners who get forced to listen to me, you poor people. Fast forward to the drams, I know that's the bit you like. And of course Jamie and Steve, who really do continue to be my thoughts and prayers. Jamie's fight is getting harder every day, and this week certainly no exception. So Jamie, if you can hear this still, sending you our love.
What's the crack, section?
What's the crack? Burns night. It was Robert Burns, the great Scottish poet's birthday the other day, and as true Scottish tradition, yeah, we had our Burns supper. And it's where we have our haggis, neeps and tatties, and, well, we had some carrots, peas and tomatoes too. Plus, can I recommend a Pampered Chef crinkle cutter to cut your neep or suede or turnip up to save you from being all braveheart with your claymore? And my lovely family address the haggis.
Haggis. Fair fa' your honest sonsy face, great chieftain o' the puddin' race. I won them a ye tak your place, pinch, tripe or theorem. We'll add ye worthy o' a grace, as lang's my erm.
The groaning trencher, there ye fell, your hardy's like a distant hill, your pen wads help to mend a mill, and time o' need, will throw your pores o' the through the still, like amber bead. His knife, seat, rustic, labour, dight, and cut you up, why, ready, slight. Twitching your gushing into a bright.
Like only ditch.
Like only ditch.
And then,
oh, what a glorious sight. Warm, deep, reaching, rich.
Well done.
Isn't that just precious? I was impressed with Sandy's eloquence, and Daisy's expression was fabulous. Gurters. She was brilliant. Her eyes, even her face was funny. So I just thought that was lovely and I had to share it with you. If you're fans of the Outlander programme and you are missing it as the next series is being filmed, then do head over to listen to Subway Knits podcast, where Maria is having a drought lander. So you can read along and knit along there, and she's going until the start of series 2, which is kind of coming up soon, and she has prizes, and one of these prizes is my freezer tartan bags. So go and listen to her Subway Knits podcast. I'm going to be in the next issue of Six Bit Storybooks, which is called Dwell. I've written an article about living in Caithness and what type of hoosies that we have here. I was interviewed by Mail yesterday, and she's going to have it in her next podcast of Six Bits. So it was absolutely delightful to speak to Mail in a proper conversation instead of WhatsApp, where we use on a regular basis. But you leave her a message and she leaves you a message, and it's almost like talking, but not quite. But it was really nice. So you're actually answering my question. So that was good fun.
Runny, runny, runny.
We have our outfits delivered to run in fancy dress for the Inverness Half Marathon, which is on the 13th of March. I'm doing this for charity this time because my cousin's little girl, Ruby, who's the same age as Daisy, and she's also a twin and a big sister, has leukemia. And my cousin told me that Ruby has one of the rarer kinds. Poor soul. So I have a Just Giving page linked, and if you are kind enough to donate, it's to Click Sargent, which is a children's cancer and leukemia charity, and my cousin actually has had some support from them, which is why she chose that one. They support by having social workers to help the families, and also they can provide accommodation to families who have to stay close to the hospital. And from my own, thankfully, very short experience of having Sandy in hospital when he was a baby, these things are very helpful. I am very thankful for your donations so far, and I know that my cousin passes on her best and thanks you very much too. Ruby has started her third dose of chemo this week, and while she continues to be a star, I'm hoping that us prancing around Inverness looking like loonies makes her laugh and laugh and laugh. She did when she saw us trying the outfits on, and if you've not yet had your laugh for today, please go to my Instagram page or Flickr, and the photograph is there for you to snort your tea out through your nose. Richard has never worn a dress before, and he has now. So the actual training is stepping up a gear. Sore knees have stopped being sore, and we're both looking to the schedule, and every day we go, oh right, we're doing this week. And it's been quite good, quite enjoying it. Today I don't think I'm going to go outside because I think I'll get blown over, because it's forecast not to be like to drop until tonight. It'll be dark, and then tomorrow it's going to be like this all again. Woohoo! So I treadmill for me, and last night I was on a turbo trainer, which is, hopefully most of you know what these are, but it's where you have your bike inside and you use your actual bike instead of an exercise bike, although I'm sure you could use an exercise bike. But it's like two rollers that you put your back wheel on and you balance your bike on, and it goes round and round and round with your back wheel, and you can do indoor biking. I don't quite know why you have to have that, not an exercise bike. I didn't ask. There's these DVDs called Suffer Fest, and you suffer when you do them. And the shortest one was 47 minutes, and it shows you pictures. It is quite good in the fact it takes you through minute by minute, and it counts down, and it's then it gives you 3 minutes off, and then it does this and it does that, and it's all road cycling particularly, but really never ever want to do cross-country cycling. It just looked awful. However, I'm sure they think that some of the things I do are awful, so everybody has their own thing, eh? So, how's your running going? Have you managed anything? Have you managed a bit every week? If you have, given up? Don't worry about it. You can always start another day if you want to. If you haven't, then well done you, you've tried it. I took madness to myself last night, and I signed up for the Glen Affric Duathlon. Yeah, 7 mile run, 18 mile cycle, and then 2.5 mile run, which I think is just ridiculous at last bit, but it'll kill us off. Meeting Aviemore Triathlon, Aviemore Half Marathon. So I officially won't be a lazy person this year, as they'll trip off each other time wise. However, training has probably started, and a day not doing something is called a rest day. Competition. There is the competition thread open for 2 tickets for the Friday and the Saturday of the Edinburgh Yarn Fest. You need to go to Ravelry thread and tell me what you want to buy when you're there, which means going and looking up the vendor list. It's not a hard thing. And I'll pick a name and a hat after Valentine's Day and get them posted to you well in time for the event in March. Only one person has actually entered this so far, so she's going to win them. You know, I would just go in if mine was. Yeah, I don't understand. Are you all paid your free tickets already? Go on, you know you want to. Free stuff.
the review section.
Review section. Now, this episode, I'm reviewing a novel by C.S. Bower called Whiskey in a Teacup. It's about a widow called Charlotte who traces her heritage to wickedness, and it's a romance novel. And she meets a tall, dark, handsome wicker whom I've been looking for when I go to Wick, as he's rather nice in my head. Looks just like my Richard. The parts of Wick are pretty well described. The Caithness dialect is okay. It's a very fast read too, and not a long tome of a book, so if you fancied a romance with some good historical facts thrown in, and I know them to be accurate, as some of them I've already told you, such as the Sinclair and Girnigal Castle history, as we did that not too long ago in the podcast, and I've mentioned the Flagstone Dykes, and she mentions them too, which, as you know, I love the way that they edge the fields and they have their own lichens and mosses in them as they weather with the county. I also really liked how one of the characters uses the clan Latin models in conversation. It's a random, I don't imagine it happening in real life, but you never know. I've told it's romantic fiction and I have to remember the fiction part. You know the ones I've been butchering in the Tartantastic section? And plus the serendipity thing that I've talked about before is named to be the Badar-Meinhof phenomenon. So if you hear something about something you've been thinking about recently, and then all of a sudden you see them all over the place. So I enjoyed the book, and the author has offered you a copy of it. I'll open a thread and have it running until Valentine's Day, as it's romantic fiction, and it's good enough time to draw it. You may offer up the answer of how you drink your tea. Is it one sugar or two, or not tea at all, but coffee? Or you can go to Amazon and buy it for your Kindle or e-reader for the princely sum of £2. I was like, what? £2? It's a bit of a shock when I looked it up. You can hardly buy a cup of tea from the Harbour Cafe for that. So go on, get lost in your romance with Charlotte and Colin this cold January and February. Thank you very much to C.S. Bower and good luck to you lot. I'll pick the name on Valentine's Day.
Coming up, it's near.
Coming up. A chunk of the Great Tapestry of Scotland is currently on show in the Inverness Museum, which is just down from the castle. It'll be featuring the Caithness panel, and on Tuesday the 2nd of February, the stitchers of the Caithness panel will be down to visit it, myself included, with Mum. So, if you are about then, it would be a great chance to be told all the stories about the panel from us that stitched it. I'm quite excited to see it again, and all together as a group who stitched on it too, as one of them hasn't actually seen it yet, and I'm looking forward to seeing what her reaction is of not just our panel but all the other panels together, and see what she thinks about the other people's work, because it's just exquisite. The exhibit is open until the 20th of February and is open Tuesday to Friday 12 to 4 and Saturday 11 to 4, and it's free entry. If I was killing time in Inverness, that's where I would be heading. In fact, I'm going that way anyway. Woohoo! The Edinburgh Yarn Fest is again happening on the 17th to 19th of March. The 17th just for classes, and Friday and Saturday for the marketplace as well. I and Mother are going to be there. Louise Scully is organising the podcast area, and we've got plans of what we'll be doing, and there's going to be a few of us there. It's actually sponsored by Blacker Yarns, which is pretty cool. Now, we were wondering what is going to be the knitwear of 2016 EYF. Last year, it was really much the Lush cardigan. So I'm wondering if it's going to be the Scully cardigan, which is by the very huggable Karina Westerman. She's going to see me from a distance and I'm going to run towards her, hug her, and she'll run away very fast. It's quite creepy, that, isn't it? Yeah. Or are you all going to wear something unique? And then we can all make our queues 30 times longer. That might be quite fun, actually. It's where we all wear something that we've made through the year, quite proud of. Even better if it was made with something that you'd bought from Edinburgh Yarn Fest last year. And then we can say, what's that? That's ace. And then put it in our queues. Because we like our queues to be long, don't we? I thought possibly a Wild Goose Cholette, because Paula of the Knitting Pipeline is planning to be there. Or I could wear my Ashton Lane to show my support for Owlprint Panda. But I wouldn't go too closely to her because she might see the mistakes. I will let her out my pocket for the month beforehand because she'll be very busy getting organised for it. However, Amanda, you are getting put back in there afterwards because I like the little hand warmers. Retreat, retreat, retreat. Now, as I wrote this, there are three places left on the retreat. I'm very excited, quite relieved. Well, I will be once it's paid up. Please use the thread to work out your logistics for sharing lifts and possibly talk about what food you like or want. And just because we did it one way last year, it doesn't mean that that's the way we have to do it this year. So please just burst forward with some information and ideas. Plus, I found out that the Seaview Hotel do takeaway of their menu, which is quite reasonable, pub grub. Quite tasty too. I was in the conference chalet and I took a couple of photographs. Well, Karen did, and I'm in them. I'm really happy with the quality of it, and there's a wee room at the back so we can use that for breakout sessions. Such as, say, one of you knows how to crochet and some other ones say, oh, I'd like to learn how to do that, but not everybody does, so you can lash into the wee room at the back, get a bit quiet, so it's not interrupting or interrupted by the rest of the group. I will, of course, unplot in goodie bags, and I'm waiting on the final numbers before I finally decide. And if any of you generous listeners wanted to gift something for the goodie bags, that would be very kind of you, and I wouldn't turn you down. The cost for 12 people for 3 days is the 26th to the 29th of May is standing at £282. That includes bed and breakfast for 3 nights. It's a self-catering affair. Very, very good quality place. So you've got your fully fitted kitchen and laundrette, and you have to bring your own soap though. There's plenty of toilet roll though. And I'm going to provide a goodie bag and drinks and a home baking for the 3 days, and we'll be getting up to lots of mischief. Well, we won't. There'll be two workshops and there will be fun and games, sort of a icebreaker session at first time, so we're getting to know you session. And then possibly Kaylee? Maybe? But all these ideas, I'm going to see who's coming first and then go with what they want to do, because I don't want to organise something that you say, I don't want to do it, Kaylee, I just want to sit in it. That's great, we'll do that. So if you haven't signed up yet, please do so really quickly, because you've only got to the 14th of February to put your name down. But if you put your name down, I take that as commitment. So only put your name down if you are committed to coming and paying up. And the money will need to be paid by, did I say that? By the end of February, I'm afraid. Natural Retreats phoned me and looked for money the other day. How dare they? However, I just wanted it all set aside, paid for, and then I can organise everything else and get started.
The beaker section.
Me section. Firstly, at the sewing machine front, I'm slowly, seems like I'm doing this forever, putting together my quillow, which is a quilt that can be folded into a pillow. I'm trying to make sure that all my corners are seamed closely together, so that's fun. I had them at sewing day yesterday and I cut the edge triangles, and I cut the corner ones into 4 triangles, one for each corner. Then I reread the pattern again and I'm thinking, I nearly mucked up there, because the edge ones down the sides, you only cut it into 2 triangles and the corners are 4. And I nearly did the whole lot as 4, which would not have been very good. So read the pattern lesson going on there. It's quite chuffed. I stopped. So it's taken longer than I was expecting, but well, there are 83 squares in it. Plus I'm using up some of the precious material I have. Some of it from you, Gingerbread Bunny, who has quite a cool felt revolution going on. So thank you for that. I think that it's going to be a quilt for the sitting room couches. We have a big one and a lap one, and the bairns like to snuggle down under one each, and the quillows in between size, the big one and the lap one, and they fight over the big one. So even though they're both fit under it, in fact we all fit under it, but you know what bairns are like. I have some other precious material too that I want to get into at some point. So, unleash the precious! Knitting front. I have day knitting and evening knitting going on here. And going out for coffee knitting has actually been the socks. I kind of slowed down on these, which is not so good. It's using West Yorkshire Spinners sock yarn in hollyberry and cherry colours, which was bought from the rather wonderful Brit Yarns, wonderful service. And I have to say hello to Mr. Brit Yarns just now. Hello, lovely Mr. Brit Yarns. Don't worry, there is whiskey in this one for you. I think I was further along the socks, and then I took them out and I went, oh, I'm not. But getting there. And what I've been doing is, because it's a sort of self-patterning yarn, and sort of lines, big thick lines, I've gone, oh, I've only got to go another green, red, green mottle bit. That'll take long. So it's because I very definitely checked where the pattern was on the other socks, and I wound the yarn until the same point of that before I started knitting on the sock body, because I did the cuff in the cherry colour, and hopefully these will be pretty much the same as the other socks, and it's a way of not having to take the sock out and hold it against it every single time I want to see where am I. Maybe I should. Maybe. Yes, I'll do that. Yes, listeners, that was a good idea. Well done. Tiny needles and thin yarn. I'll get there quite soon. And I'm nearly at the second heel, so I think I need to go for coffee again, don't I? The day knitting is Olaf the Snowman. So, Snowmageddon was my fault because I'm not finished them yet. Do you want to build a snowman? From Let's Knit, from the December 2015 issue. And you can still get the pattern if you go online and buy the magazine online. I don't think you wouldn't be able to get the kit, but really it's just white yarn. So it's using Hayfield's Bonus Double DK in white, but it's actually quite white. It looks kind of grey. But when I was holding it up against other white, the white of the Stormtrooper is pure white. Like, must be bleached beyond comparison. But this white, I know snow is like that, so well done. It's like sheep. Sheep aren't really white either. Anyway, moving on. I'm nearly finished, but I couldn't remember how to do an I-cord. I can now. I now need to sew things on and stick on his googly eyes with glue or a fine, strong sewing thread and needle. But I think glue would work better, but I don't really like the idea of gluing anything to wool. And Daisy's 7 and not going to eat them, but I just don't like the idea. And he looks better with the googly eyes because he's Olaf and he's a character, but the thought of the glue touching the wool just makes me go, because when it dries hard, if there's bits sticking out, I just want to pick it off. Oh no. Anyway, Olaf has googly eyes and he's going to be about 20 centimetres tall when he's finished, and then it can stop snowing because I think we're all done with that. I've really been enjoying working on the hat for Richard with the Buffalo Wool Company Bison DK, and I'm using the Farm Beanie pattern by Alison Britt. It's coming out really charmingly, although I'm not so keen on the cast on I use now. It was a super stretchy cast on I found via Pinterest, and it was called the most elastic cast on in the world by Knitfish on YouTube. And whilst it's a nice cast on, I would imagine socks being quite good. Once you get your fingers and thumbs going, it's fine, but the bison yarn's kind of grabby and it doesn't slip down the stitch easily, so some of my cast on edge is a bit frilly. I'm hoping it'll come out nicely when I block it, but if it doesn't, I'm wondering about taking out the first row and casting off a row down. So I could do that, couldn't I? Pretty sure I could. In the library corner, I've read the aforementioned Whiskey in a Teacup by C.S. Bower, which is a very easy, fast read. I'm also chomping through Guy Martin's second book called When You Dead, You Dead. And also, I've started the Poldark series by Winston Graham, which my pal Charlie gave me the entire series because I showed an interest and she wanted to tidy up her books. So it's in your house now, but quite a fast read. I'm imagining the most recent Poldark, Aidan, I don't know what his name is, but he was a dwarf in The Hobbit. And he takes his shirt off. But And these has sort of got the pictures from the 1980s series, and he's not the same. No. And he's not very nice in one of the books at all. So, yeah, I'm trying to get past that. But quite easy to read, and Shirley's actually threatened me with the rest of the Outlander series, but whilst I read book two over Christmas, I'm not in a hurry to go back. I note that your Sam Hewen is raising money for Blood Work, which is a charity that my cousin is interested in helping, because that's what my little cousin Ruby has been also needing help for, because they do blood cancer investigation work. So go Sam Hewen, that's really, really worthy cause. I didn't put two and two together until I actually went on the charity website when she was talking about it. On to the collective. I was at Textile Artists on Tuesday, and I've started a sampler book of embroidery stitches. Celia had found some on Pinterest and thought it might be interesting and a nice thing to sit and do. I really like the drop cloth samplers that you get, so this quite appealed to me. So I rummaged and can't find any linen or good quality plain cotton in my stash to stitch onto. So instead of going and buying some, I rummaged and found a bag of Aida and Evenweave material that I've had since at least 1996. So I cut it up straight and I have a sort of cloth book form. And I have to do the stitches on it before I can stitch it all together, but to keep the edges from fraying off. Now I've got an embroidery Reader's Digest book at the library, and I started with the first stitch, which was back stitch, and I've carried on from there. I'm using a big needle and silk yarn, so whilst I'm sure I have the tags of it was from somewhere, that somewhere is not downstairs beside me right now, so I'm back podcaster. Moving on. Look, geese. Look at them against the wind. So once I've done the stitch, I write on the material what stitch it is, and so far I've done three stitches that I've never done before, which I really like that. And I'm on to square chain stitch now, so that's quite good. And I don't do very long, I do say about 4 inches worth of stitch, and it just gives you a little idea of practicing the stitch and what it's going to look like and what you could use it for in future embroidery. Celia has started this too, but nobody else has gotten this far with it yet. Joan was sewing on the binding of a quilted placemat that she has made for her tea tray for her having her TV dinners sometimes. She was also telling me about sherwoodfabrics.co.uk, and she's bought some silk material from there in their sale to make a dress skirt for her cruise later in the year. Last year, Joan lost some weight as she changed her diet to control the slide into diabetes type 2. And Joan won. She looks amazing, and she's having to get a new wardrobe, so she's been making a lot of her clothes. Before Christmas, she was in her tweed skirts, and she did her hair, and she looks like she would belong quite happily in the 1960s. So, if you change your diet, perfect. Catherine has finished a Jacobean-style crewel embroidery piece, and she says it's now on the stretching table. She's also, along with her that day, a wet felted piece, and she was needle felting extra layers and bits onto it. She's going to have a landscape with a waterfall, and so she was putting on some heather colours and then some boulders, so for the rocky part beside the water. That was quite cool. You could tell what it was close up and from a distance, which was quite wonderful. Valerie and Celia were trying needle punch, because Valerie had a set of the tools and she didn't know how to use them. Celia is kind of handy that way and had a big thick tome of a book from Reader's Digest. Second time I've said tome of a book today. Which showed you how it worked in picture form. So we stood around and she showed us how the tool is threaded and then how the hessian sack gets worked on. And Valerie was fair coming on with it. And whilst it wasn't picture perfect, it was pretty good for a first attempt. We were, of course, then chatting about our trip to Inverness to see the tapestry next week. Drams. On to the drams this episode. If you're not into the drinking and shopping, then thank you for listening. I'll catch you next episode, because there is only the shoppy section and blah blah blah, blah stuff after.
We're dramming.
We're drumming. We hope you like drumming too.
Welcome into this episode of The Drams, listeners.
Happy New Year.
This episode we're going to be drinking a Scapa.
It's a lot of water in Scapa.
The Arcadian Dram. It's a malt whiskey.
It's a malt whiskey. A single malt, undefined aged whiskey.
Now, I've actually done Scapa a long time ago when Paula of Knitting Pipeline was visiting. We had a miniature between us.
That would have been the 16, unless it was really old, and it would be the 14.
I don't know, Matt. How can it be really old if it was the 14-year-old when you said it could be the 16-year-old? Well, I'm confused.
I've done research.
What? You don't never do research.
Oh, this time I have.
Okay.
So, up till recently, and I think they've only just stopped bottling the 16-year-old. And they had the run of the 16-year-old. But before they had the run of the 16-year-old, they had a run of 14-year-old. Before that, I don't know. And they're now saying that they're having this Scapa Skirrin, which is an adjective, Old Norse, glittering, bright skies.
Well, that's true. We'll come on to the area there.
I can try and say it in Orcadian if you want. It a wee peedy bit skirrin.
That sounds not bad, actually. Sorry, any Orcadian listeners.
I made that up there in the spot as well. I'm fluent in Orkney.
Maybe I should get Dorothy to speak to me tomorrow.
Anyway, so they're saying, and then they're stopped 16, they've got this one out just now, and then they're going back to having a 14-year-old, apparently.
Okay. Yeah,
and there's lots and lots of bits and pieces and reviews, some good, some not so good. And it's made with the only working Lomond still. I'm not 100% sure what a Lomond still is and how it differs from other stills.
It'll be a type.
It'll be a shape and type and stuff, mm-hmm. I'm sure. We got this for our Christmas present from us to us.
We're generous that way.
We love each other.
Yes, I love you, dear.
I love you too.
Here's some whiskey. The box, dear.
Yeah, it's over here.
I would like to apologise if Richard bangs the table. I'm sorry if you're in the house by yourself. It's not burglars, it's just Richard. Right. The box is a sturdy box. It is cuboid in shape. And it has a blue sea-like look about it. And it's got Scapa, the Arcadian, in silver with a very, very cool sailing... It'll be an Orkney yawl, won't it?
Yawl, aye, yeah.
That is into the A of the Scapa.
It's nice, it looks good.
I only noticed that just now, and its top is almost navy blue, and the bottom is sea colours, going to green at the bottom.
I think that'll be your horizon, and that's your sky.
Yeah.
And that's...
The sea. And then it's got a kind of label in cream with blue writing on, just reasonable size to read, and it's established 1885, American oak casks, single malt with Scotch whisky, Skirrin, adjective, Old Norse, glittering bright skies. Inspired by summer's bright glittering skies, described in Old Norse as Skirrin. This expression is exclusively matured in first fill American oak casks for a smooth, creamy sweetness with a hint of tropical fruit, citrus and coastal heather. The batch is SKO1, 100% first fill. From the Isles of Orkney. Now, I just think it's quite amazing how there's at least 6 miles difference between Caithness and Orkney, but such different accents. Right, we're 70 centilitre bottle, and we've got 40% volume, and it's the Scapa Distillery, Kirkwall, Orkney, distilled and bottled in Scotland. Will I read that bit?
Yeah, if you want to.
Within reach of the Arctic Circle, Scapa, part of the Orkney Isles archipelago, is ruled by the elements. Perched on the tranquil shores of Scapa Flow...
Is she not often tranquil?
Pause for effect. The Scapa Distillery is perfectly placed to look out upon the ever-changing seas and skies. I agree there. To survive here, islanders have learned to harness nature's contrasts and make the most of the gentler months when the horizon is bright and gleaming. It is these light summer nights when our home is bathed in endless twilight that have inspired the creation of smooth, honeyed single malt. Crafted the Arcadian way, our team of artisans pride themselves using traditional methods and skills honed over several generations. The result is deliciously smooth, flowing with mellow fruits and heather honey, and bringing to mind Scapaflow's natural sanctuary from the restless elements beyond. It's quite poetic, isn't it?
The Orcadians are really good at branding and selling themselves.
Incredibly so, but we'll come on to that when we talk about the area.
Yes.
Which is further
and it's non-age specific as well. Which is, there's a few out like that. I'm not fussed what age it is, but I would like to know what age it is.
I think it's just because we're so used to knowing.
I think it's the dregs between the 16 and the 14. I think it's the 13-year-old dregs. It wasn't a great year.
You're a bit awkward when you're 13, are you not? Right. Would it not be 15?
2003 was a bad year.
Would you not be 15 between 14 and 16, though? That's an even more awkward year.
I haven't even had a dram yet. So the 15, that would be... what did I say? 2001. I can't believe I said that.
I can't, but I'm leaving that one in because it's hilarious.
Oh, Muppet.
Right, so the bottle.
Oh, it's a fascinating.
It's very tall and elegant, and it's fluted outwards to a rounded shoulder with a lamb feeding bottle.
It's just the kind of thing that James would feed the pet lamb with.
He doesn't have lambs, he's got coos. Long time listeners will know that. And, Richard.
What?
Drink responsibly.
I know.
I like the bottles that forget to put it on. Right, and it has the cork, which has been opened.
Well, I was doing research.
Once or twice. It's Christmas.
Oh, it's a cheeky one.
Do you want a pour? Because I'm not very good at pouring. I get too much or too... Oh, hold on. Have a sniff of that.
It's lovely.
Oh, that's very nice and light and honey.
Mm-hmm. Definitely honey.
Yeah. It's one of them nice ones. We better watch out because Winnie the Pooh will become running down. We never did the colour in the bottle.
We don't get the colour yet.
So, hold on. Colour, cork, pour. Goodness me, listeners. It's the drinking of the everything over the Christmas period is completely...
Don't want to evaporate. Right, colour in the bottle.
Winnie the Pooh.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very golden, isn't it?
Oh, aye. Very, very golden. There's a drip coming down there. Don't waste that quick.
And the glass is the same.
Yeah, it is.
Because it's a clear glass.
Yeah, I'd say that was.
Yeah.
So, the
you
sniff...
Swirl it? Sniff it and swirl it?
Sniff it and swirl. A bit sharper.
Oh, I think it's a lovely smell. Really nice smell.
I've lost the honey out of it, though. It's not as sweet anymore.
Yeah, I'm getting a kind of sweets and honey.
Reminds me of being in a sweetie shop. Like the old-fashioned sweetie shop where you used to go in and ask for a quart of sweeties and you get them in a paper bag.
I'm getting an old stewy kind of buyer.
Okay.
With cow poo in it.
Cow poo from a whiskey?
Not in a sort of unpleasant sort of smell, but just a sort of smell of a lived-in old buyer that the cows take shelter in.
Okay. Right. Can I have some water, please? Yes. I have a taste.
Oh, it's lovely.
Who are we going to toast tonight?
Oh, I've thought about that.
I haven't thought about who I'm going to have for a dram yet.
I'm putting in a little bit more water than usual.
Yes, I noticed that.
Yeah.
Is this from research?
This is from research, yes, aye.
Right.
It's not research, it's research.
I think I'm going to, and I don't know if I've... Did we have him last time? Tim Peake, the astronaut.
Oh, very good.
Because he's going on his first spacewalk soon.
Aye, I like that.
Right, here's to him, Tim Peake.
Bonjour.
Sounds fair. Who are you having, if anybody?
I'm going to have a wee think.
Oh, that's quite sharp.
The taste going in the mouth, the smell of the bouquet is lovely.
Mm-hmm.
The taste is really nice.
I
get a little burn.
Aftershock, aftershock.
I'm not getting a great aftertaste, but I'm getting a wee bit of a burn going down.
I'm saying aftershock, aftershave.
I'm trying to place. Well, I've got a burn now. But I'm trying to place this... Place the tastes. Certainly honey. Kind of florally honey type taste.
Well, will we read what it said?
Mm-hmm. Do you want me to read the tasting notes here?
Yeah, go on then.
So, Scabat Skirrin. Tasting notes. September 2015. We'll see the release of the latest offering from Scabat Skirrin. The marketing spiel.
Just go past that.
Right, blah blah.
Don't know.
Right, using a unique barrel-shaped Lomond wash still, the only remaining working Lomond in the Scottish whisky industry, results in a fruitier, honeyed spirit. Exclusively matured in first-fill American oak cask, giving Skirrin creamy,
You're getting creamy.
I would actually agree with that, yeah.
It's creamy tasting.
Yeah.
Going down. It's got a bit of a sharp aftertaste.
Because it says a sharp citrus burst of lemon.
Sharp citrus burst of lemon is unmistakable following a gentle tinned pineapple syrup and cantaloupe melt. My word, it's like the
Keep going.
There's a floral note, honeysuckles and marigolds. There are ripe pears and soft, sweet red apples. There's a buttery, soft-drop pancakes drizzled with honey and silky nuttiness of almonds, giving this a dessert note reminiscent of a good...
Frangipani
tart. I don't know. I've never heard of a frangipani. It's like marzipan. What city do you have to go there for them?
It's like marzipan.
Well, like that kind of tart. Well, I see, okay. With a generous amount of vanilla cream. Palette. There is a young green wood giving an initial bitterness. This quickly makes way for the pineapple, pears and ripe melon from the nose. The vanilla creaminess is still present with cocoa butter and toffee sauce. The lemon from the nose is tempered. It's gentle and sweeter. Lemon butter cream springs to mind. The floral notes have all but disappeared. And there's a little bit of a cow byre with lots of cow poo.
There's
a little bit of spice lurking in the background. Not quite as hot as peppercorns, but warming like a generous pinch of cinnamon.
Do you know, I couldn't put better myself.
It's taking the words right out of my mouth, and I just said honey and floral notes.
Keep reading, finish.
Surprisingly long, this is quite a light whiskey. The sweetness of the melon and pineapple lingers. And at the very tail end, there is a burst of fragrant rose, which a coo has had a poo on. Which brings to mind Turkish Delight, or a Turk, maybe, I don't know.
Oh, the real article.
The real article, not the mass-marketed version.
You ever had real Turkish Delight?
Yeah.
It's lovely.
We had it, mind, when we went to the Turkish in Inverness.
Yeah, that's what I was meaning. You tell the list. I know that we've had it.
I don't like Turkish Delight, like the package stuff that you get in the shop. Mm. I don't know, can you still get it?
Yes, of course you can.
It used to be a Christmas present type of thing, Turkish Delight.
Mm, well, obviously nobody in your family likes it anymore then.
Oh, I don't know, I'm not a fan of it because it's too sickly sweet. Mm. But I did like that. That was good.
Must have gone out of fashion. But overall thoughts? Like everything, it's homemade, it tastes way better. Right, and
overall
from the
thoughts,
original cover.
Light and floral.
Frolly?
Overall sure. Thoughts, light and floral. One that will work particularly well for summer, I think. Well, it's the 6th of January. We can be optimistic.
Right, think bikinis.
I am, all the time. Yeah.
Mankini.
No, I'm not thinking that at all. There is some richness imparted by the vanilla cream and a hint of bitterness from the cask. This isn't a whisky that I would reach for personally. I would say the ABV needs to be slightly higher, but I think in doing that they would lose the delicate flavours and the alcohol would dominate. Its retail recommended price is $60 or approximately £40, which is what we paid for it. So it's not expensive.
I'm sure that
there will be a market out there for it. It's not unpleasant, but it's not memorable dram for me and not one I'd return to. Well, I like it, but it's not...
Well, that's from whiskeycorner.co.uk. That's not from actual Scarpa.
No.
I was thinking it was a bit bizarre.
I've got the Scarpa one here as well, Scarpa.
Now,
but it doesn't have it. So it's still got the 16-year-old and the Scarpa one.
So the tasty notes, I would actually completely agree with all that. Apart from I can't taste pineapple.
And they don't mention
milk.
A cow buyer.
No. But when they say it, you do kind of think it. But then it's like, don't think of a pink elephant. And you're supposed to automatically think of pink elephant.
That pink elephant in the corner?
Winnie the Pooh was feeling a bit lonely, so he invited the heffalump along.
Oh, I see.
I think heffalump's actually purple. You may correct me on that, listeners. So, it's quite pleasant. It's
I think a good sculp of water in it.
Yes.
I had a wee nibble before, and I knew that it...
Oh, we're below the ship line now.
Oh, well, that's new.
Yeah. The ship's
on high ground.
In the bottle, it's got an embossed sailing or Orkney yawl, which is a type of boat, with a wee line for the horizon. And before, the whiskey was above the line of the boat.
We were at sea.
And now...
the tide's out.
It sure is. So we'll talk about the area that Skatback is from.
Okay, well, Skatback is part of the main, known as the mainland, but the main island of Orkney.
Mm-hmm.
It's just south of the main town, which is Kirkwall. There's two towns on it.
Is Kirkwall. It not Orkney Isles, and they get grumpy, we get wrong?
It's the archipelago.
Mm.
And the main island, the biggest island, is known as the mainland.
Mm-hmm. For Orkneycadians, not for us, because we are the mainland.
Yes, aye. And on it, you've got Kirkwall and Drumness.
Mm-hmm.
And Skatba is, well, I guess famous for being a seafaring maritime area. It's a huge, big, I think it's like something like 20 or 26 miles radius, big bay, and it's sheltered by lots of islands, Hoy, South Ronald Sea, and all the other ones I can't remember.
It's not that far from Kirkwall, is it? Skatba?
Oh, no, it's a couple of miles, that's all.
Oh, not that far.
It's a couple of miles.
You couldn't walk to it, but it's not far.
I have walked it, I've run it.
It's not that far from Kirkwall, is it?
Oh, no, it's not far at all. So, it's very pretty. Mm. We can see it from our house. We can see the flare burning on
the
flotta, but you can also see the big boats that are, they've got moored refinery ships that take the oil, the crude oil, straight from the pipelines onto the boats and refine them on the boats, and then they have other boats come in and take it away.
So that area is called Skapa Flow, and you probably have heard of that from the First World War, Second World War?
Both. The First World War,
that's where this
it's where the German fleet was
scuppered.
Was Skapa Flow, from Old Norse, Skalpafloi, meaning Bay of the Long Isthmus, is a body of water in Orkney Islands, sheltered by the islands of Mainland, Gramsey, Bury, South Ronaldsay and Hoy. Skapa Flow is 324.5 square kilometres. So, Skapa Flow, there's a lot of wrecks there from the German scuttled fleet. There's also the Royal Oak, which was sunk by a torpedo fired from a U-boat. And a lot of people died.
That's the one that they go out and put a wreath at every year, which is
nice.
And
you're not allowed to dive in it.
No, it's a war grave.
It's a war grave, yeah.
It's funny how they let some of them dive on them and they don't let... Do you think it's where ones were scuttled and ones killed on?
Yeah, I think there was such a massive loss of life on that one. And I've been to the museum on Hoy a couple of times, in fact, and it's the war graves. And I looked and there's I remember being quite poignant because obviously I don't know who it was in relation to my family, but there's a 16-year-old lad called with a surname Hunt in it, which I thought was quite
sad.
Well,
all things sad. But
so it's a really popular dive area for recreational divers, and there's commercial fishing. There's the oil and gas works there. A lot of tourism.
It's a beautiful, beautiful place.
Yeah, and then you've got all the like harbour authority boats, taking boats in and out on the back of all of that.
Mm-hmm.
And it sort of comes out into the Pentland Firth, which is what we are sitting on.
Mm-hmm.
So if we look out our window on a clear day, we can see across the Pentland Firth, 6 miles up to the entrance to Skapa Flow, and then into Skapa Flow and the islands round about it.
Mm-hmm.
And you can sort of see quite a bit in and recognise quite a few things. And I tell you what's quite good, I really like, is looking out at night time when it's a clear night and you can recognise and see all the different lights and beacons flashing.
Yes, yes. That always kind of makes me feel quite nice when I see them. Well, they'll be a better adjective than nice, but I can't think of it right now.
So who are you having for your drams in?
Well, as I said before in the podcast, Richard and I are going to be running the Inverness Half Marathon.
In fancy dress.
Hello Kitty fancy dress. So Richard's going to be wearing a dress. Not a Hello Kitty head, because I looked far too hot to run in. For raising money for the charity Click Sergeant, which is a children's leukaemia charity. Because my little cousin, she's actually my little cousin, but it's her daughter, Ruby, is fighting leukaemia in Newcastle just now. So I thought it would be nice to give my cousin, Lindsay, Fave Cuz, Lindsay, and her husband, Mark, who's Fave Cuz-in-law, and I have to say that all my cousins are my Fave Cuzzes, but that's just what we say, and give them a night off because they've been having to go back and forward to the hospital, plus they've got two other children who they're looking after, and all the worry and everything that goes with a childhood illness. I just like to give them a night off. And they are lovely, lovely people,
mm-hmm.
and good crack.
Mm-hmm.
And whilst I don't think they drink whiskey, I think we would have a great
convert.
Well, it's
for
just
a night off.
Just a night off.
Yes.
They do live quite a way away, and it's times like this where I wish I lived closer. Yeah. So this is a dram for Ruby and also for the rest of their family.
Sanjiva.
So who are you inviting?
Well, yesterday I went out west on all the wee roads.
Out west.
All the way to a place called Tongue.
It's not that far out west.
Nah, from here it's about 50 odd miles.
But then I suppose if you've turned left at Thurso and you see how far past Tongue and your house, that's quite far when you've got to come all the way back.
It's a beautiful part of the world. There's hills, there's lochs, there's forests, I love it.
It's in the county of Sutherland.
But it is bleak.
On the north coast of Scotland.
It's bleak, there's not much out there in the wee village of Tongue. And I quite often when I'm working out there, which is not often, but I'll go out there and I'll get a cup of coffee in the only coffee place that's open this time of year. Anyway, I went in to get a coffee and I spoke to the lassie that's working in the coffee shop, and I walked in my overalls and everything because I was working, and she went, "Ah, coffee?" And I went, "Yes, please."
So wait, I says, "Do I have an harbour room for coffee?"
No, not yet. No. So I says, "I see that wee castle over there and the wee hill over there," and I says, "How long does it take to walk up there?" And she goes, "Oh, it's just half an hour." So that's fine. She goes, "I take my bairns up there," and that's fine. So, and I didn't realise it, but I did, but I'd forgotten that you've been up there when you were at school.
Mm-hmm.
So, I walked up to Castle Varach.
In his lunch hour, listeners.
As well?
In your lunch hour.
In my lunch hour, yeah, it was lunch. I decanted the coffee I'd bought into my thermal mug and carried it up with me.
Oh, you're good.
So, I went up to Castle Varach. It's a bit of a mystery. Was it the Berwick where Thorfinn fought a sea battle in the 11th century, a residence of medieval bishops, an early stronghold of the Mackays, or a rebuilding more ancient foundations? The area has been inhabited since prehistoric times, and the great wooded rock on which Varach stands is a dominant site. Its name too is elusive, but a likely interpretation is that it's Castell a Varach. Is the castle of the Lochaber Man. A cave below the tower, I couldn't find it because I had a wee rummage, is known as Leavai Ian a Breich, Ian of Lochaber's Bed. A Breich may have become a Varach. Ian a Breich, son of Mackay chief, but reared in Lochaber, was a great local hero of the Duthech Mic I Mackay country, and is said to have bidden in the cave in times of danger. His banner bore gold embroidered words, Beochtruin, Beochtruin, be valiant, be valiant. The Battle of Druim na Cub, circa 143, I think.
Well, it must be more than that.
Or 1431, maybe, I don't know. When a Sutherland force was routed by local men led by Ian a Breich, decisively retained the area for the Mackays, as well as his military skills and bravery. Ian was renowned for his moral courage and integrity. And I took loads and loads and loads of photos, and I ran round it and touched all the stones, and I kept on looking over at Tongue to see the modern houses to make sure that none of them turned into ancient houses, and I got put back in time. Or anyone called
Claire,
or what's the boy called?
Jamie
decided to come into my time.
He's the wrong clan.
I know, but they might have been travelling or on a holiday or honeymoon.
Oh, true.
Or something.
Well, I'm glad you didn't, dear.
I'm glad too. And then I walked back down, finishing.
You'll be all right, because you're married to a Mackay. It's fine.
I know.
And you know the motto.
Yes.
Which is?
Man you 40
mm-hmm.
with a strong hand.
It is indeed.
Mm-hmm. I know it too well. So I've got a natural reflex to duck all the time.
Listen, so you think I was violent or something.
Yeah. So anyways, I've got great photos.
Excellent. Well, I'll put
lots
them
of selfies
onto Flickr.
And stuff of rocks and stuff.
Well, there's some interesting geology round up here. So.
There is. And I took one off the cliff at the top.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't find a cave, though. That was the only disappointment. I was looking for a cave.
Can't remember the cave. No. We went there in 1987, so it's a while ago.
I went there in
We've driven past
2016.
It a lot. It's a nice run out to Tongue. It's a nice
beautiful
area.
Mackay
area.
I love Tongue.
Mm-hmm.
So that's who I'm going to have, is that lad there.
Okay, cool. He'd regale us with
tales of Mackay's gone past brach. In the history. Yeah. I'm sure my dad would have enjoyed that conversation. So, Scabba, would you buy it again?
I would certainly drink it again. Whether I'd pay the money that we paid for it again, I think there's nicer malts, more distinctive flavoured malts that I know I like that are at least £10-15 cheaper.
Mm-hmm. Well, I like the bottle. I like great. The design of the tub.
It's not flashy. Box.
No.
But it's good. It's sturdy. Yeah. It's solid design. It's a mm-hmm. nice tasting one. It's to me, it typifies Orkney. It's good marketing. That's what it says.
Yeah.
And
they're extremely good at marketing themselves. Because Keith Ness has got all the stuff Orkney has, apart from the oil, like historical wise and tourist wise. But
yeah, Keith Ness has got the nuclear industry.
Yeah, true. But they don't market it because
they've got the nuclear industry.
They've got the nuclear industry. So I would drink it again. Well, it wouldn't be my first choice. I think I would go Highland Park over Scapa. Oh, and the other thing is, Scapa never used to have a visitor centre, but only last year they have opened it to visitors. So if you are into going to Orkney and into going to whisky visitor centres, then do look going to Scapa Distillery. Put it on your list. Mm-hmm. Couldn't remember what words are.
Mm-hmm. I was going to invite somebody else.
Oh, were you? Beg your pardon, who?
John Gow.
Who's John Gow?
He was a pirate from Orkney.
Oh.
He had a short-lived career, apparently.
Oh, go on then, tell us.
Do you know? I tell a lie, actually. John Gow was born in Wick in 1698, the only son of William Gow, merchant of Margaret Calder. Tradition says that the building in which he was born in was near the old town house. Blah, 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 blah.
Uh-huh. In
September 1698, Gow's father bought some property at Stromness, and the whole family moved there.
Oh yeah, you see that in the Stromness Museum, which again is worth a while a visit.
They've got the most
amazing stuffed bird exhibition upstairs in the Stromness Museum.
Oh, it's fantastic.
Yeah, and you wouldn't believe the amount of little birdies that, or any birdies that live in 1 square mile of Orkney. Carry on.
His piratical career started started.
That's pirating.
Aye, pirating. Or buccaneering.
Ooh.
Started in 1724, August 1724. As he joined as a sailor, the Caroline, a Guernsey vessel, which was unloading in Amsterdam for sailing for Santa Cruz. The captain, a Frenchman named Oliver Furneaux, must have been favourably impressed with Gow's ability, for he promoted Gow to second mate and gunner before the ship sailed. So while the ship was still in Amsterdam, Macaulay and Harry Jameson deserted from a neighbouring ship, the Margaret, and joined the crew of the Caroline. At the time, this was an event of trivial significance. This might take some time.
The
voyage to Santa Cruz was uneventful.
You didn't do any research on this bit, did you?
No, I didn't, but I just remembered there was a pirate that came from Stromness in Orkney.
The
voyage to Santa Cruz was uneventful, and by the 3rd of November, the ship was loaded and ready to sail for Genoa. Oh, he raided the house of the High Sheriff in Orkney.
Did he?
Right. He sailed the Scapa Flow. Gow, by sailing in the Scapa Flow, severely worried the magistrates of Kirkwall, and from a hurried council, he must have been all over the place. Kirkwall was safe, however, for Gow's next target was the home of James Fee of Clestrain at the house of Sound of Ede, on Ede.
Mm-hmm.
The navigation and hours, because he would have known all the pilots. Requirements to get back with the force. What happened to him? Two lots of prisoners. they sent HMS Weasel after him. The following day, HMS Greyhound chased HMS Weasel.
When was this? 1725-ish?
Yeah.
Oh. Arr. Arr, my hearties.
There's quite a lot that happened to you. Right, what happened to them? We're all hung.
That's what happened to them.
Timorex sentenced to execution.
Where did he die? 1725.
19 were acquitted. The sentences on Robin Moore were later commuted to transportation. The other condemned men were hung at execution dock near Wapping Steps. He was so well travelled for that age, yeah?
Mm.
Two of the men were so weak that they had to be carried from the carts. Gow had asked for a speedy dispatch in compliance therewith. The executioner pulled them by the legs, but so hard that the rope broke.
Oh no.
He was still alive and sensible enough to climb the ladder for a second time.
Oh my word.
The bodies were left to be washed by three tides. Then those of the two leaders were tarred and hung in chains as a public warning.
Mm.
So ended the futile career of pirate John Gow, who, during his reign of 4 short months, captured five small vessels and raided 1 or 2 Orkney houses to little effect. But the story is not quite over. There is still a very persistent tradition that Helen Gordon travelled to London at this time to touch the hand of Gow's corpse and so release herself from the vows which they had exchanged at the Odin Stone. Unlike a Christian marriage, pagan rites extended beyond the grave. It would be wrong to judge Gow's actions with modern yardsticks. After 250 years, we can afford to be charitable and thankful that he brought a splash of colour to our past, even if it was blood red. No, he was a pirate. And probably quite a bad man, so...
No, you never know. It might have been that the...
Well, I know a lot of these guys were paid, weren't they, to do what they did. By
and
the
masters and
the
ships might have been bad as well.
Mm.
That's from a book, North and South, where the brother was in the Navy, but because his captain was a bad person and he stood up to him once, he was deemed a fugitive. And
Oh, it was all class and stuff there, wasn't it?
Yeah. So you never know. Maybe read more.
I think
into
he came
that.
From a little bit of money.
What, from Wick? Well, you never know. There was money in Wick at some point,
yeah.
But more in the 1800s than the 1700s.
Well, he bought loads of houses in Stromness.
It would have been little, and the Wick would have been very, very little in the 1700s. Stromness probably would have been quite a bit bigger because there was whaling there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're all historical tonight, listeners.
But you don't. There's no whales to be killed in Scapa Flow.
Is there not? Is that what it says?
Not there, but I'll tell you why.
It's because they killed them all off. Or is it because it's bad luck?
I'll tell you why, because a witch hid a thimble in a bay.
Oh, I like this witch if she was saving the whales.
Yeah. Give me a second, I'll tell you.
Okay. I'll just finish my scapa.
Well, I'll pour you another one.
No, I don't think so. I remember Paula only been having quite happy with one. I can see your point. I remember it being quite sharp.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Scuba diving. Ah, oil. Right. Anyway, so there's no whales caught in Scapa Flow.
Why is that?
Because there's a curse. According to legend, a curse was placed in Scapa long ago by a witch. She buried a thimble in the sand at Nether Scapa, and until it was found, no more whales would be caught in the area.
She was...
That's off the lady.
Wonderful witch.
Mm-hmm. Without a thimble.
I don't think she would mind if all the whales got saved.
But the whales would certainly...
What's it called when you're Greenpeace or... When you're for...
Thingy warriors, aren't they?
Yeah, but what is it?
Eco warrior.
Ah, yeah, she was an eco warrior way back when people still thought about witches.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, there we go. So I've got John Gow and Ian Abrach.
Some good historical characters. I don't know how Lindsay and Mark will get on with them.
I'm sure they're quite hospitable folk. They'll all get on just fine. As long as they leave this house with nothing more than what they entered with.
Okay.
Aye. Be keeping an eye on that John Gow.
I don't know, I'd give the shirt in my back to my cousin. Right,
Sanjvat. Thank you for that.
Happy New Year, everybody.
Mm-hmm.
If you're into the drinking, then stay tuned, because this episode sees Richard and I drink a Scapa Skirrin malt whiskey. Of course, that was recorded, and it was supposed to go in last episode, so it's a little bit out of date, but I don't think it matters too much.
Shoppy section.
The shop is stocked. There's currently McLean, Farquharson, Wallace, Robertson, Ancient Macmillan, MacLeod, and Ancient and Weathered Fraser bags. I also have a couple of Outlander-inspired covered notebooks, and 2 sheep and 1 Highland tea cosy in there. If you feel you would like to contribute to my continued running of a podcast, but get stuff back as well, then please do go visit www.etsy.com/shop/Caithness Craft. There's a coupon for the last few days of January, so just type in January at checkout
and you get 10% off.
Blah 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 section.
Thank you very much for listening to me spaff on. I appreciate you taking the time to download and then listen to me. My email is keithnesscraftcollective@gmail.com. I am on Ravelry at Louise Hunt, Etsy, Twitter and Pinterest, Instagram, Facebook as Keithnesscraft. You can access the Flickr photos as LouiseJ2010 or via Podbean site as www.keithnesscraftcollective.podbean.com, and the photos are down the right hand side. Well, I hope I don't get blown away, because there goes Dorothy in her little house. That's what it's like here. So thank you very much for listening and keep on crafting.
Unless it was really old, then it would be in the 14-year-old.
I very much doubt it.
I've been doing some research.
Hold on. That would have been the 16-year-old, unless it was really old, and then it would be the 14-year-old.
Yes, now. Okay. They used to have a 14-year-old as their, what do you call it? Their,
standard?
Their
brand?
Brand, their main, major, the one that you call it?
I don't know. Most popular. The one they go to. Listeners, join in. Oh. I'm going to have to edit this now.
Yes, I know. You can pause it if you want. What's it called? The trademark one. What the f- it's got a word. Anyway, right. Okay. I'll just put my foot up here.
Right, what point are we going to start again? Tell me. Don't hit this. Okay.
Right.
It's in the heart, Roy. That was the huge big thing. Mm-hmm. We'll just do Scapa Flow. Yeah. Try Hood.
It's not, definitely not the Hood.
Are you sure?
It's either Royal Oak or Ark Royal.
It's not Ark Royal. That's the massive, great, big aircraft carrier.
Yeah.
That didn't get sunk in Scapa Flow.
Right, I'll just pause it, will
you? Thank you. No, because I'll just delete it.
I know it's an aircraft carrier. Yes.
1978. So therefore it couldn't
be. But they renamed different ones. HMS Royal Oak.
There you go. There wasn't one we could find. But it wasn't Ark Royal, was it?
No, you're right.